Test it, 1, 2. Test it, 1, 2. Now.
Man in the Ring is a mental health podcast. It's not exclusively for men, but from the perspective of two friends who are determined to stay connected despite being on other sides of the world. Don't ignore mental health. Get it into the ring. We face the same silent battles. Ding, 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 and welcome to Men in the Ring. And I'm joined out of Northern Africa by Matt. This is Sean. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself, Sean?
Oh, not bad. Not bad this week. Weather's taking a little turn toward summer here, although it's going to rain all day today, but that's okay. We need the moisture, so
good.
Yeah, been talking about mental health last few podcasts, whatever that is and where it's identified, and fun talking to young people about how they, you know, categorize mental health or how they, you know, see in their own lives. Anything that comes to mind struck you as interesting?
I think one thing that's kind of stuck out was, again, nobody really has a strong definition or feeling of what it is. Just like, oh, mental health.
Yeah.
Don't be sad or anxious.
That was kind of my assumption going into it, that there was still a lack of clarity. I mean, even for us as professionals, we struggle to have a real strong working definition.
Yeah.
That one definition that you're talking about. Well, can you say that one again? It's always so simple.
The integration of energy and information flow.
Yeah, that's the one. I love that one. The integration of energy and information flow. That's so perfectly concise. Still, even when you say that, you're like, what? You know, it's like, that's mental health then? Yep, that's it. All right, cool. Where did they go to the library to find that? Or where is that?
Yeah, interpersonal neurobiology. This is the one that really kind of coined that, pioneered that.
You said interpersonal neurobiology?
Yep.
All right. A lot of fancy words in a row right there.
Yeah. It's pretty cool like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, mental health. I mean,
if you want to break that down, like inter between two people, personal, like mine, neurobiology, right? Like the reality is our mental health relies, considering you can't really even nail down where your mind is, right? Uh-huh. Like where does this actual thinking take place? Is it above my head, in my head, in my heart, like in my stomach, right? Like,
it's a wild thing to think about.
Yeah, right? Like, all right, that's a chemical reaction. Chemical reactions, the way we think of them, don't necessarily carry meaning, right? If you looked at things from a purely physiological standpoint, like, that doesn't make sense, right? And so information, energy, things we can't see, yeah. And sometimes those wires get crossed. Mental health goes haywire.
Right.
I think there is there's some things as a, like thinking about mental health, right? Like, there seems to be this, like, if I have any anxiety about something, it's bad. Right?
Okay, like, sure. Yeah.
And this is, like, clearly it's not everybody, but, like, oh, I have some anxiety about this, so it must be bad I have anxiety, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
No, like, you know, let's say test anxiety, right? Like, I have sure. test anxiety. Like, there's a reality where, like, okay, like, you might get so anxious for a test that you shut down and you can't take the test. Legitimate right. test anxiety. Got it.
Or if you just procrastinate and study like you should, you have anxiety for the test, that's practical. You should probably have some anxiety there.
Exactly. Right? That's not bad. It's not test anxiety. That's
no. It's like, don't be a dumbass. And
nervous. Yeah. And there's a book that's been recommended to me a couple of times. I actually will probably give it a listen because I liked her first book, actually, called Bad Therapy.
Oh, it could be interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It could be a really interesting read.
Yeah.
And especially considering it's done poorly so often, like, whew.
Well, yeah, the interesting you say that, like, is it's almost like, I mean, I don't know, it's just kind of so wild. It's almost like cool to have anxiety or something like that.
Yeah, like, it's normal, like.
Like, as in, it's as in like, well, a little, you know, if you have anxiety when you're traveling in the inner city, not terrible to have a little bit of anxiety. You're just going to be self-protective, you know, make sure you're kind of just guarding yourself a little bit, as opposed to, you know, somebody just says, oh, I have a lot of anxiety. Well, yeah, I mean, if you're, you watch Netflix crime movies and then you're watching CSI Miami all the time and then you're just locking your doors all the time and nervous that somebody's going to come and kill you, you have anxiety, it paralyzes your life, you can't go to work or something like that. I don't know. What are you doing that's feeding into this anxiety? Is it a normal anxiety?
Yeah, and that's actually what the kind of the premise of the book that I've got is, it's not healthy to just sit there and worry, like, think about the problem all the time, right? Like,
right.
Like, it is a problem. Okay, yep, it's a problem. And you don't need to sit there and talk about it an hour a week, every week for the next 10 years either, because that's just going to make it worse, right? Like, some things, like if you're anxious about crime, right? Like, just like that example you're given, like if you just sit there and dwell on it, like eventually you're going to get paralyzed from it. Like, you know.
Right. So. Well, there's this notion that, you know, it's all going to be okay. I just wrote some lyrics on for a song, you know. It says, need a warm smile on a cool night. Tell me it's going to be all right. Well, this notion that's going to be all right is a notion that says, I'm at peace with something, even though it might, you know, I might not have full confidence. That what is that? You're deriving some sort of, like, it's going to be all right, like a trust in a process, trust in a higher power, trust in the fact that it's going to be okay. Where does that, it's all going to be all right, where does that notion come from?
That depends on the individual.
Right.
Like, I know where I can say my peace is going to come from. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of, like, my faith gives me an ability to walk on some pretty shaky ground.
Yeah. Right. It's interesting.
But is it wise? No. Like, but do I feel like this is where God's called me? Like, yeah. Right? Like,
mm-hmm.
So there's that. There's also, like, it's simple enough. Look at the evidence. Like, what's your personal experience say? Like, not what you're watching, right? Like, okay, mm-hmm. CSI Miami says, oh, I should never go to Miami. My personal experience is Miami is, I love Cuban food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or people break into houses and kill people. Like, never had anybody try to kill me. Right?
Right.
Nobody's broken in my house and tried to kill me. Right? You know? So, like, looking at the evidence of it.
Right. So, like, going back to, like, the anxiety thing. So, like, is that just sitting around, like, thinking, oh, it's not going to be all right? Nothing's going to be all right. Is that what that is?
I mean, it could be.
Okay. I still struggle a little bit to, like, comprehend that whole thing, you know, like.
Like anxiety?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just because I'm really good at, like, lying to myself, saying, yeah, it's all going to be all right, you know. Maybe these people are so intelligent, they're just. What's that?
It's better than the alternative, like.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, if you just sit and dwell on something mm-hmm. over and over and over and over, like.
Mm-hmm.
That is, your brain gets stuck in a loop, but you have to get it out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Grace did an excellent job of that, like feeling overwhelmed for a week and then like, oh, breaking it down, making a plan, right?
Yeah, she did good.
You could sit there and there's people that are less resilient
mm-hmm.
than that. And that turns them off for the next 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's too much. I couldn't do it. And then it nothing to do with what they want to do or were actually capable of doing. Let their mm-hmm. thoughts and their feelings take over, right? Like, a lot of anxiety really is just, it's an untrained mind, like, in a sense. Like,
right.
It's an immature mind that hasn't been able to even grasp that it can control where it goes.
And so that's that's something that you can practice and like get better at, right?
Yeah. Like that's where it starts typically is with some poor thinking. And the longer you're in that poor thinking, the worse it gets, right? Like the harder it is to get out of there. So then you take medication to try and make it go away, but the thoughts are still there,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that pattern of thinking and worrying is still there. That pattern of, mm-hmm. of depression is still there. Like you have to choose and make a choice of what you're going to do, and what you want to do. Right?
Yeah. Some people like to worry. It's actually something they want to do.
Yeah.
But it snowballs into something that's much a real bad thing for you, you know. It's a really bad thing to do, sit and worry. It's really not healthy for you at all.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But I've dug into this before. I can't think exactly. I think people's worry brings some significance for some reason. I guess I don't. The fundamentals of why people choose to worry on purpose. I can't remember exactly how that goes, but I used to have it broke down. Well, it was bothered me so much for people around me. They would choose to just worry about things that were negligible. Then I try to figure it out, you know, why they're doing this. I can't remember exactly how that went, but I think it brings some sort of significance toward them.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole generalized thing about, you know, we keep banging this point about what is mental health. I mean, it is important, I think. We're all trying to find some, you know, happy medium peace in life, right?
Yeah.
That's based on a lot of factors of what you're doing, what's going on, people around you, you know, what you're working toward. Are you accomplishing goals? Are you, you know, it always marvels me at some people like accomplish all these professional goals, making good money, living lifestyle. It seems like as though they've accomplished something, and that, but everything around them, their family, is just falling apart, you know?
Yeah.
And I always wonder, like, wow, how does that go? How does that feel? You know, how is that? It looks like you're making it, and you're losing on a very important aspect of life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then so the people that are putting that hard work in and trying to, you know, support their family, maybe not, you know, like, as successful financially or whatever, you know, is that a good life, a better life, or a good life too? I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's different parts to each person, you know, like, it's hard to be well-rounded in all areas. You know.
Yeah.
So you're good at business, your family's falling apart, or you're good at family and you don't make a lot of money, or
mm-hmm.
you're not good at, I mean, thinking about a person, like, there's an intellectual side of a person, emotional side of a person, relational side of a person, right? Like, spiritual, like, mm-hmm. if one's not doing well, like, the whole isn't doing well.
Right. Makes me think of, like, farmers. I think about this occasionally. Farmers that, you know, help grow America, you know, the early people, they were just scrambling, trying to get by. And I've even seen it, you know, in present day, some usually men that I know are farmers, and like just get, just have to spend so much time, especially certain times of the year. So other times of year aren't quite as bad, but certain times of year, spend so much time just like in the field, like, and like they're doing it for their family, you know, but then their family feels like they're neglecting them. So their family starts like rejecting them, but they're doing it for their family. But then it's just this wacky, vicious cycle of my family's rejecting me a bit emotionally because I'm not there enough for them, but I'm not there enough for them because I'm making a living in a very difficult way. And then you just see, you know, some of these people that are just shells of people.
Yeah.
It's like, God dang, that's rough. That's a bad choice of lifestyle if you have a choice to be a farmer or choose not to be.
Yeah. Need them though.
Yeah. That would be small farms for sure. The larger industrial farms are not as bad, I don't think. But I can't speak to that with a ton of certainty. But it seems like they would maybe have shifts and not work for, you know, 36 hours straight type of thing. But maybe they do that. Maybe there's still some seasons that occurs. I don't know. I'm not much about it. I don't want to know much about it. It's troubling to some degree. But yeah. Mental health, so we talked about doing some like running with Grace. That's one way she can kind of decompress some stress out physically, get some eustress or endorphin flow or whatever. And then sleep is a big deal. Getting enough sleep. And we talk about that a lot, but I'm not that worried about oversharing a formula for success, you know?
Yeah.
And then I guess interpersonally, what's your formula for, for mental, quality mental health? Everyone has what? Between like 2 and 6 people that are close to them.
That's a tough one to prescribe.
Well, yeah, family. I mean, talking about like just family or like close friends.
Yeah, everybody's going to be different.
Right, okay.
You know, like I need 2 or 3. Other people I know need 5 or 6. Jesus had 12. So.
Jesus had 12, yeah.
So.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So if we're sitting here having a conversation, I was actually having a conversation about abortion with a good friend of mine yesterday. And him and I take very different sides in that approach. And I was like, well, I wonder what if we were sitting here with Jesus, because abortion is a pretty tricky issue in some areas. Like, I wonder what he would say about that, you know? It wouldn't be funny to have, or no, funny, but interesting to have the person of Jesus as it's sitting down, have a conversation, like a intellectual. You know, I wonder what he would say about mental health. You know, that'd be really interesting. I probably said a few things in the Bible already. We just have to decode it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
what are you? This is tangential. I don't know if I want to go down this road. Speaking of Jesus, he was a Jew. Do you think about about the campus clashes that are occurring in the United States right now?
A little bit. The Jews aren't allowed to go to school anymore.
I don't know about that, but I don't know that much about it. Actually, I do know that like one particular campus is kind of dominating, but there's a couple other ones. But it is also one of those things that make you feel like, oh, it's happening everywhere, even though it's only happened in a couple places.
Yeah.
Encouraging further mob mentalities. But that's kind of that's what the media does.
Okay, that's been this week's episode of Men in the Ring. Thanks for tuning in. If you know of anyone that could benefit from this podcast, please ask them to subscribe and check it out. We're trying to spread the word. All right, talk again next week.
Throw these warm blankets off of me. Set myself a cold and shivering. All these things that I'm confident about. Pretend they're my friends, but in the end they lie. Pretend they're my friends, but in the end they lie. I put a bandit on my soul, like every single thing. I kinda feel okay, but on the ground I lay. Feeling self-righteous, as I decay. Please turn my face around so I can see your wear. Turn my face around so I can see your